We change our ritual. All right. I want to thank everybody for coming tonight. I often speak a lot about health and wellness, right? I give talks on nutrition. I give talks on, you know, how not to get sick and sleep. And I don't often talk about pain, right? Because ultimately, when you think about chiropractic, most people put chiropractic into neck and back pain, and then they'll, you know, auto accidents, workman's comp, insurance, and it's really a management. People think the paradigm is a management of pain. And so I'm really careful when I talk about back pain, or I talk about chiropractic treatment for back pain, because ultimately it isn't for pain at all. You are, like we just said, a product of your daily rituals. And the adjustment is not designed to get you out of pain. Although it does get you out of pain, but that is not what adjustments do. Adjustments do something very, very specific. And we're going to talk about that. And tonight we're really going to dive in the biomechanics of the lower back. Because there are very few things, believe it or not, that can go wrong down here. So when something goes wrong, understanding what to do and what not to do is everything with the lower back. Because I can adjust, let's say you sprain an ankle, okay? And you sprain an ankle and you walk into me like this. How's your ankle going to feel? Do you think it's going to heal? No. So you come into me and I go like this. And now I put you on your ankle, so now you're walking like this. Is it going to feel better? How you doing, Louie?
Great now.
All right, baby. Is it going to feel better if you walk like that?
No.
It is. Vinny, come on. Louie. It's going to feel better. But if you continue to walk on it rolled, I can bring it back to that. You might not be able to see me back there. I'm talking about an ankle. You're walking like this. And if you sprain an ankle, if you continue walking on the outside of your ankle, it's never going to heal. And I can bring it back to the position all we want. But when you leave my office, if you keep walking on the side of your ankle, I don't care what I do, it's never going to heal. So I want you to understand the lower back in a way which helps you get the appreciation of what to do and what not to do. I was speaking to a patient today who came in with some lower back pain. And they said, oh my God, I hadn't had lower back pain in years and years and years. And I went down and I picked something up in the morning time. It's always in the morning. I'm going to tell you why that is. And I twisted and it just went out. I wasn't doing anything. And I made the comment. I said, all right, so let's kind of go back. What did you do the night before? Did you have any drinks? He's like, yeah. And I'm like, let me guess. Chinese food? Total guess. Why did I pick Chinese food?
Salt,
right? Chinese food? Yeah. I had Mai Tais and Chinese food. How the heck do you know that? And because it's not just the going down, bending down to pick up the bar of soap. Pardon my pun. But it is what you did. Sorry about that. But it is what you did the night before that predisposes your lower back to go out on you. And those pressures and changes, and it's really, hello Marika, it's really important to understand what to do and what not to do. And then when something happens, I'm going to tell you what to do, like right there. Not when anybody ever had a back tweak on them, right? Well, there's something you can do. Oh. There is something you can do real time right there that will make you, that will help drastically. I'll give you for instance, Frank, do you need a chair back there? Deb? All right. So I went out on Saturday night, okay? Had a couple, it's the holiday season, okay? Forget it. I did it. Fine. I woke up in the morning, first thing in the morning, And what do I do on Sunday morning, George?
Right.
All right. I go biking, right? And it was freezing. It was cold. Was it a cool morning? I don't know. It was a cold morning. This was Sunday. So I'm biking. And didn't warm up because I was late, right? I woke up late, right out of bed, ran right to the parking lot, jumped on my bike, and we're not talking, you know, like flat trails. We're talking like steep trails. And I get on my bike, and I sat there, and I said, oh, no. Oh, man, I know it. I'm going to tweak my back. I know I'm going to. And what do? You know, everybody's going, and I just went anyways. So we went, and there was snow outside. That's right, it was snow on the ground. Even worse to go because you're all over the place. And we're jumping off of stuff on the ice. I mean, just really, I don't know why I do it. So I was flying down this thing. It's this one thing that people don't make. So, you know, when you don't make, somebody doesn't make it, you want to try even harder to make it. I mean, it was a real technical little thing. And you have to, so picture riding your bike, bring it, like doing a wheelie, landing your tire here, and then you got to jump the whole bike on top of that. So I go and I jump the whole bike up. What do you think happened?
Tweak.
Tweak.
Tweak. Tweak.
And I did something which I'm going to teach you guys tonight to do. I don't suggest to keep riding, but I did, and I rode the rest of the time. But if it wasn't for me knowing what to do, I'd be like this. Has anybody been like this before?
Oh, yeah.
I'd be like this right now. So think about this. This is great. I could only adjust people from this side. I could never adjust people from that side. And it's these things. So there are things that we're going to talk about tonight. You just put on that dive in deep hat because it's difficult to understand. That is really why I haven't given this talk so much, just because it's the mechanism. Even though there's only a few things that can go wrong, the mechanism of the lower back is very, very intricate. And I'm going to show you that. I got some two chairs in Spitter's Row up here. Oh, yeah. Yep. Well, that's very difficult. Very, very difficult for me. I'm good.
Sorry.
All right. Nope. No problem. So, as you know, so my message and my goal is to empower and guide you, to empower you through education so you know what to do and what not to do. And the message here at Atlantis is just that. It's giving you information, and it's outside-the-box stuff that you really don't typically hear. And I learned this stuff through, you know, I'm an exercise physiologist, a nutritionist, and I'm an active individual. So I've gone through the back going out on me over and over and over and over again. And it is not fun, and I understand back pain because I've dealt with it many, many, many times. And I just put this together, as you know, last night, like I usually do. So, well, some of these, let's see, the beliefs one, is pain bad, is pain good? You know, let's talk about pain for a second. Is pain good or bad?
Good.
Right, what's it there to do?
It tells you
you've
got a problem.
It says you've got a problem. So why do we take pain medication? To get rid of it. So let's say we have a low back issue right here, right? And the, you know, the belief is that we, you know, it's inflammation, right? Or it's a muscle pain. And I take a pill to get rid of the muscle pain. And now what can I do? Oh, yes, I can. I can move. Now, how many people were here at muscle pain, a window into your health? All right, what is muscle pain? What is the two functions of a muscle?
Stop moving.
Movement, and what's the second thing? Protection. Movement and protection. That's it. If you're not moving and you have muscle pain, guess what's happened? It's protecting a layer deeper, and we're going to go into that. So let's look at the layers, okay? These are, and please, if there are any spelling errors, I don't care. All right. So so the top layer is the muscle. The muscle is the most superficial layer, the most reactive layer. It's only reacting to what's going on underneath. You have to understand that. In order to get at the bottom of anything, or to get at the, yeah, to get at the bottom of your pain or what's causing it, you have to understand that muscle does two things, movement and protection. If you're not moving, it is protecting something. So a muscle spasm is something we need to listen to. Because so it's protective in nature, and it protects everything below. So it is like, I'm bad with analogies, I offend people. So let's just say it's like the worker guy on the line, right? You have all this corporate stuff. It's the guy that's doing it. It's the reactive guy. Do this? Okay, I'm going to do this. Do that? Do this. So it's the most reactive layer. It's just reacting to everything. And it's not usually the problem. The problem is layers deeper. I mean, if I pull a hamstring, that's a different story. This is not what we're talking about. We're talking about lower back pain. It's totally different. Next thing you have is you have ligaments. So what do ligaments do? Right. Connects bones together. This is typically where the issue is 95% of the time. And then you go the layer underneath. Actually, sorry. 50% of the time, the problems in the ligament level. Then you go the layer underneath, and that's the bone. What I did here, which is a little different, is I differentiated the ligament from the... how do I explain this? I'll talk about it in like this here. And we're going to talk about it in a second. So you have ligaments that hold this whole thing together, which I'm going to tell you. And then you have ligaments they call capsule ligaments. Anybody know what a capsule ligament is? When you have two bones that come together, one bone here, one bone here, you have a capsule. It's like a balloon around the ligament. It's called a capsule ligament. There's fluid inside of that. That is everything we need to understand when we talk about back pain. I have some diagrams and stuff like this. So you have the ligaments on the outside that hold the bone together, and then you have a capsule ligament that holds the joint together. Does that make sense? So you have a ligament that will attach here to here to hold that together. But to hold this little joint together, to hold the bones together, that's called the capsule ligament. Very important to understand that, because that is where the problem normally is. And that is where your lifestyle affects. That's when you eat salt, it doesn't affect the ligaments, it affects that joint space. And that capsule ligament swells up like a balloon, and we're going to talk about that. And then the last layer, that is the trump layer, this thing controls everything, is the nervous system layer. And how this is affected is when a nerve comes out of the spine, it splits in two. Can everybody, if you can't see it back there, that when this nerve comes out, it splits into two branches, all right? Part of the nerve goes to the muscle, and the other part of the nerve goes to the organ underneath. Very important to understand that, because if you have a muscle spasm in this area, what's a muscle doing? Why? Protecting. So that's telling me what's going on at the organ underneath. And if this muscle is spasmed, in the morning you're going to have a swollen joint at that level. Anybody ever wake up and, you know, you put your foot on the ground, you're like, oh my God, good, great. Then you take a step again, it's like, oh, and then the back hurts. And then you walk, and then after 15 minutes, oh my God, everything went away. You know, why does that happen? And it's the mechanics between the joint capsule, the muscles, and the ligaments, and what the nerve is telling it all to do. And to differentiate those different layers, we're going to be talking a whole lot about this bone structure and how what's going on under here you can tell from the muscle tension and how you feel. That's a horrible picture. I thought so. I did this on my laptop. It looks a lot clearer. But so this right here is the sacrum that... I should never put this down. All right. See this right here? Right now, if this was in your body and we pulled it out, we cut all the ligaments, all the bones would fall off. The bones would just fall apart. But what happens, we have all these ligaments. Look at the intricate nature of how they're all like this. You have a sacral tuberous ligament. You have a capsular tuberous ligament. You have a sacral lumbar ligament. All of them attach and intertwine like a rope. Right? So it's all tied together, crisscrossing all the way down to the sacrum. So from here to here, you have this matrix of all of those ligaments. See how intricate that is? So, when somebody has pain here, you're going to have, all of these things have, it's the only place in the human body where ligaments have slight contraction properties. So the ligaments will tighten, and then you're going to feel it through. When you have pain here, you're going to feel it down here and down here because of the protective mechanism of that, of how it's set up. So it's set up like a matrix, like this, where if you damage one, you get that, right? So then you have pain through the whole area because you're getting tendonitis through the area. Am I going too...
No.
No.
Okay. I just want you to, you know, I really want us to get the appreciation of the intricacy of this matrix. Because when we talk about what positions to put yourself in and what positions not to put yourself in, it's because of how it's all intertwined. And you can, and we're going to talk about it in the next few slides, if you do this, which means bending forward, all that stuff gets pulled real tight. And if you want to loosen that area, you go like this. And it immediately takes pressure off of that. So you can definitely pull any one of these ligaments, and it's very, very difficult to know which one it is, but you treat it all the same. There we go. Then I don't have to bend down. Now, when you look here, This is the disc. Rarely is a disc the primary problem at the beginning. How many people were here at Arthritis 101? Good. What comes first, arthritis or degeneration? Degeneration, right. Degeneration causes arthritis. So you have to damage the back once, then again, then tweak it again, and again, and again, over and over and over and over. Then you start to atrophy the joint. Then the disc becomes a secondary issue. A lot of times what will happen is you'll have somebody that always has pain on one side. My back always hurts here. I always pull it out here. Oh, it's right there, it's right there, it's right there. Then they'll come in one day and go, oh my God, now I have pain down the opposite side, down my leg. And what happened is you've damaged the joint, posterior joint so much that it atrophied, then you finally blew out a disc. So it's joint injury, joint, 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 joint out here, then disc later. So when somebody has a disc issue, in order to go backwards, there's a lot of stuff that has to happen because of the years and years of damage to all of that external structure back here. See all these ligaments tying the back? This is the lower back right here, okay? So this one right here, see that ligament coming across? And then see the small ligament right here coming this way? And then that's the secondary. So this is the same ligament, the segment below. And then see this ligament here? See this ligament here? Those are the same ligaments right here. And then that one right there is the same as that one. So they're all, so you have 15 ligaments in between each bone, which are the same all the way down, that are all doing this. So when somebody comes in to me and says, oh, what I pulled right here, what'd I do? My mind is like, and I'm like x-raying them in my head, trying to figure out what's going on. But I know that if, let's say, this bone right here, right? So remember, ligaments on this side, 16, I'm sorry, 8 and 8. 16 ligaments on this side, 16 ligaments on this side. This goes like that. Rotates. What happens to the ligaments on this side? They get tighter or looser? Tighter, right? You do that, what happens? They get really tight. They're like rubber bands. You're pulling, and just ready to snap. So when we adjust, just like taking your ankle, we reposition it. Is that going to feel better or worse? Kerr, is that going to feel better?
Better?
Right. Does that fix the sprain?
No.
No. Uh-uh. So you come in here, and I adjust you, and you feel a lot better. And you're like, oh, man, you wake up the next day. Holy mackerel, I'm feeling good. Let me tie my shoe. Oh, man, what happened? Where the heck? I'm going to be like this for the rest of my life. Blah, 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 blah. And all the stuff goes through your mind. It takes 4 weeks for a ligament. It takes 4 weeks. Has anybody ever sprained an ankle?
Yeah.
Have you, like, 4 months later, have you tried to put a ski boot on or a boot and it still hurts?
Yeah.
That's what's going on down here. So once it's sprained, even though it feels better, it's not better for weeks and weeks and weeks and weeks, and you're still under a window of, you're in a window of susceptibility, okay, where you can still re-pull this. So it's like spraining your ankle and then 3 weeks later rolling it in a pothole again. If you do that again, what's going to happen is you're going to be back at square one and even worse the more that you do it. So, when you pull your lower back, the facet joints causes scar tissue. Does anybody know what scar tissue is? Does scar tissue as elastic or less elastic than normal tissue? Okay, good. Less elastic. Let's say we pull a ligament. We have two joints. We have the spine with two sides, right? And we pull this side. So that heals with scar tissue. Are they going to be moving like this after it heals?
No.
It's going to be moving like this now because this side is less elastic than this side. So what's it do when you do that? It wears it down. And then what are you more likely to do? Pull it again. And then you do it again. Now it's moving like this. So you have to understand, when you pull this ligament, it throws the mechanics of the entire thing off. And if you do that over and over and over and over again, now you start walking like this. Right? Now the muscles start to compensate for that. So I see somebody in this posture coming in, and that's a normal posture. I know that it's been years and years and years and years of scar tissue development that's thrown the whole biomechanics of that lower back off. And then, let's say they sit at a desk 8 hours a day, right? The normal mechanics of the body were not meant to be sitting down. That is going to be an extremely difficult case to fix. Because, first off, the mechanics are off because all the scar tissue with all these joints, and you're causing scar tissue as you age. You're causing scar tissue as you take non-steroidal anti-inflammatories like an aspirin or a Tylenol, and you're also causing Tylenol by sitting all day. Causing scar tissue by sitting all day. So those types of things over and over again complicate the imbalance that happens in the structure underneath, which makes you more, you need the adjustment more because we have to break up that scar tissue. See how this stuff is working now? Okay. So then the scar tissue decreases motion. The decreased motion causes degeneration in misalignments, right, because they're not moving well. And then the misalignments over time weaken the disc, which cause disc problems, chronic pain, and arthritis. Do you see how that happens? So this stuff, guess when it starts? When you're a child. Exactly. Slips and falls. A child at the age of 5 will have 3,500 falls. Right? You know, standing up, boom, sitting down, you know what I mean? Stuff like that. So, you know, this stuff happens at a young age. Scoliosis and stuff like that really need to be checked and addressed. Once you yeah, this is, I don't know. But once you tweak your back, right? Ooh, ooh. Whoa. What the heck was that? Whoa. Once I tweak my back on Sunday, 5 days. Regardless on how good you're feeling. I feel great. I have no pain whatsoever. I will not tie my shoes tonight. I will not tie my shoes in the morning. Uh-uh. You know what I do? I lie on my back. No? I slip on. I lie on my back. I'm going to show you the positions to not be in so you keep that back out of what's called positive pressure. You want to keep pressure away from it. I was going to bring balloons in because I think it's a good example. If you take a balloon, you push it, and no, you blow it up. The more you blow it up, the more likely it is to pop. Once you let a little air out of it, it's a lot more mobile. When you wake up in the morning, it's called pre-stress. Your balloon, your joints are ready to pop. And if you couple that with sodium or alcohol or sleeping in the wrong positions, you're 200% more likely to injure yourself in the morning than any other part of the day. So take the following precautions. You will never get a healthy back by having a stronger back. Aha, yes. Why did I put this in here? Why will you never get a healthier back by having a stronger back, do you think? Go ahead.
Flexible back.
What's that? Well, you do need to eat healthy. Very good. Thank you, Renee. What's that?
You need to be flexible.
I'll go with that, too. What's that? Yeah, why? All right, good. Yeah, tipping over.
Do you mean stronger back?
Stronger back. A lot of times people exercise their back.
Oh, okay.
And they'll do a lot of exercising. Yeah. It's you can't have a, you can't, you, your back, it's not your back, it's your biomechanics. Okay, because remember, the problem is not in the muscles. Mm-hmm. Everybody thinks the problem is in the muscle. What's the muscle, you can't have the problem in the most superficial layer. If the company goes under, is it because of the workers at the ground level?
No.
No, it's because of management. Management is the other systems. It's not because of your muscles. Your muscles are like the worker bees. All right? You don't work the muscles out. We need to understand the biomechanics, and then because as we age, we have to understand part of the aging process. Unfortunately, I have my own theories on why this is, but it's scar tissue. You get scar tissue you've had more scar tissue from when you walked in to now. You have more scar tissue now than when you walked in. You're always depositing as we age. And we need to understand that, and then we need to change our mechanics based on that. All right. Yeah, see? I knew that. All right? Huh? Did I not know these slides like the back of my hand, Scott?
Transition.
All right. Pressure in your lower back is everything. So think about, when I mean pressure, I mean like this. If I have, is my lower back more likely to go out on me when I'm up like this or I'm bending down, touching my toes?
Bending over.
Because of the pressure in the back. Your muscles aren't what's pulling. It's the joint capsule at a deep level underneath. So when you go, when you see these, can everybody see these joints right here? When you go like, all right, let's do it right up here. These are all joint capsules. When you do that, you see how they open up? There's a capsule around it that's stretching, exactly. So I'm going to call for argument's sake, and it's only argument's sake because there's actually more than 0 pounds per square inch of pressure when you're lying on your back. We're going to say lying on your back is neutral. You will not hurt your back lying on your back. All right? That's a neutral position. Now, I'm sorry, lying on your back, legs out in a position like this. Okay? Everybody's like, I sleep on my back kills afterwards. I know, it has nothing to do with the back mechanics. It has to do with other things. So that's a neutral position, okay? When you lift up your knees, do you think that increases the pressure or decreases the pressure?
Zero.
Increases.
No, We got to understand.
So it stretches it. Okay, can I move this?
Yeah. Thank you. Perfect. This is going to be great. All right. Think about the pressure in the joint here. You do this, and your legs go up. What's that doing? Increasing the pressure in the joint. Okay? Any neutral position really is an arch position. What's that doing to the ligaments of the low back? Increasing the pressure or decreasing it?
Decreasing.
Perfect. That increases because I'm trying to pull the spine apart. That decreases. Does that make sense? If you look at these ligaments right here, when I arch my back, it decreases the pressure on my low back. My back isn't going to go out of me like this. My back's going to go out of me when I'm touching my toes because everything goes like this and opens up. Right? I'm not going to break the back of the back like this. You're going to jam the joints. You're going to sprain the ligaments like this. Does that make sense? This increases pressure on your lower back when you move your legs up. Lying on your back is zero pressure. Best thing for your back. Yeah, it is. I hate thinking. I got ADD, right? My brain just said that I said a lie. But I didn't say a lie, but there's another component to it.
Opposite when you're lying on your stomach.
Lying on your stomach is increasing. So if you're arching your back, it's good, but you're going to have to, if your back is out on you, you can't do that because the component of this is picture the balloon, okay? So if your back is out on you, it swells. So when you take a balloon and you go like this, you're going to push the joints together and you're going to push the fluid out of the joint and you're going to sprain the joint. So there's a difference between back maintenance when your back is out on you, like I'm going to talk about, and healthy things that you do when your back is not out on you. So when you tweak your back, I don't want you to do these exercises that I'm going to tell you. I'm going to show you what to do and what not to do. But after you go, let's say you tweak your back 3 weeks later, then you start doing these. You do these exercises when you have no pain. Okay? Because it's very, very important to not stress the swollen balloon. So if I sprain my ankle, I'm not going to stretch it like this, move it like that. And you got to think about this exactly the same way. Was there a question? Yeah, Beth. Right. Rest him. Still increases pressure, but not as much. Because you have to understand, your pelvis is going like this. Let's go get into this a little bit more, because I'm going to be talking more about the pressures, and I don't want to kill this with time. But what, in a sense, will happen is the most neutral position you can do is a slight arch in your back, lying on your back. That's the most neutral position. When you bring your legs up, and let's say you put them on something, if the joint is out on you, you're going to pull it. I am so careful. I am like mechanic man, because I mean, my back has literally got out of me 30 times in the past. So, when you stand, you have 40% more pressure on the joint just standing. Now, I'm not talking about jumping, I'm talking about standing. So from going from a lying position to a standing position, I didn't have a good standing one. I didn't have a lot of time to copyright a lot of these, so I use what I have. So I'm just talking about standing. Standing like this, 40% more pressure. Okay? 90% more pressure when you're sitting. So sitting, that's why when people say, oh my God, I'm driving the car and I can't get out of the car. 90% more pressure in your lower back sitting because you're taking this angle and you're going like, I can't even do it, I don't want to break it. But you're taking the pelvis and you in basically the pelvis in the spine at this point are not like this, they're like this. Okay? Now, here is where people have issues. 130 to 140% more pressure sitting, bending down. How many times do I correct people tying their shoes when they're sitting down? Oh my God, that is the worst position you can possibly ever do for your spine. Never do it. I would never, ever, ever do it ever again. And I'm younger-ish. Right? If you want to tie your shoe, if you have good knees, you go down, open up my pelvis, scissor stick. If I go like this, right, and I'm shaving, 60% more pressure, probably a little bit more, like say 60 or 70% more pressure. If I open up my stance and I do this, it drops drastically by 50% by opening up your pelvis. This is a scissored stance. This is a square stance. It is very important if you have any back issues to always think scissor. Open up the pelvis. Either way, when you bend down, use this here, push up, bend down, use this, push off your knee. Scissor stance is good. This here, I don't even want to do it. Are you kidding me? I just felt it. I felt like 150% more pressure. If I was in this position now, right, and I went down to pick something up down here, I'm done. I have no pain whatsoever, but I know how to sense that there's still swelling back there.
It's your story. Look what your knees, now what's your back.
You know what? Those people that did those mechanics, you know, that's exactly what it is. Yeah, but you go like this, right? Now, I'll tell you, if I'm doing it right, the lift with your knees thing, you know, stick your butt way out there, right, Vinny? Yeah, like, yeah. You got it, right?
You got it.
Stick it out there, arch your back, yeah. Right? Remember, if an arch in my back going down, an arch in my back is going to take pressure off of the ligaments, pressure on the ligaments. So you lift with your legs. If you go like this and you lift with your legs, you're done because your back is in flexion. Your back has to be in extension if you want to lift. If you want to lift, it has to be. You got to think of it like a balloon ready to pop. The way you take pressure off of the balloon is like this. Now, when you sprain your back or the back pops and goes out on you, this is very hard to do because you're jamming the joint and it's a swollen balloon. I'm talking about life stuff right now, okay? I'm talking about normal daily stuff. You want to make sure when you go down, scissored stance, I can go down like that and lift something. Now, if I'm lifting something really heavy and that I can't do that or I'll pull a hamstring, what's the first thing you think about doing, do you think? All right, now what do you think about doing? Call Vinny. All right, now we're through. Now we call Scott and we know nothing's going to get done. All right, so what's the first thing you think you have to think about?
The vertical in the back,
arching the back.
Actually, yeah. You know what? Yes. Now the second thing you have to think about.
What's the first thing when you hear it?
Arching your back. Just keep a little arch in your back. Frank said it, your stomach. Anybody ever go to the gym and wear a weight belt?
Yeah.
Do you know that belt doesn't support your back? Do you know what that belt does? Pushes against your stomach and creates interabdominal pressure, which supports your back. So you think about a tight stomach, and then you go down. And notice how I'm going down. I'm not going down square. I'm slightly off. Okay, you all. Straight up, right? Because I'm on a bike. That's why I pulled it. If I had kind of twisted up it, I wouldn't have pulled it. You pull your back when you're straight on mechanics balloon pulled. That's when your back's going to go out on you. Tying your shoe, sitting down in a thing. Oh, look, I dropped the... Ah! Shaving your legs. Not even shaving your legs. Vinny, I know you did that last night, but even just shaving. And the same thing goes for your neck. Like if you're doing the whole, oh, you know, beautiful hair, Marika, the beautiful hair, and you go, whoosh, oh, the neck will do that same thing. Because you got to think, your joints are swollen balloons. Your joints have no blood supply. They swell to get nutrients. And you, when you lie down and you're in zero gravity, let's say at night, all of your joints are swollen. It's called pre-stress. You wake up in the morning and you're a couple of millimeters taller, or centimeters taller, because everything's swollen. And what happens in the morning? To the muscles. They're tight, right? Who wakes up stiff? And who stretches in the morning?
Not like stretching. I
know. All right, hold on. 1 second. All right. Muscles have two functions, protection and motion. The muscles are tight because it's protecting the swollen joint. They squeeze down to push the fluid out. If you stretch a muscle in the morning, you are just a ticking time bomb. Do not stretch when you are freaking tight. When you have pain, don't stretch. All right, you know, you can stretch backwards, you know, maybe lie on your back a little bit, bring your legs up, but don't, none of that tension, you know, none of the deep stretching. Stretch very lightly, be very cautious about it. You do not want to stretch when your back is quote-unquote out. That is the wrong thing to do, because what are you doing? You're loosening up the muscles that are protecting the what? The joint. The muscle's never the problem. It's always the joint. Sorry, I'm a little opinionated. I'm passionate. I love this stuff. I love it. Like, I love it inside and out. See, I this is my horrible drawing. But, you know, so here's fluid in. The fluid, so picture these are joints, okay? You're not that tight. They're like body joints. Okay. Here's a balloon. So you have like two bones coming together right here. And here's a balloon. Fluid comes in. And then fluid goes out. If the fluid that goes into the joint is greater than the fluid pumped out of the joint, what happens to the joint? It swells. And then it gets to a point where the swelling reaches the maximum tension of the ligaments, and it can't swell anymore, right? That's called pre-stress. So the joint swelling is equal to the amount that the capsule can hold it, right? So if you blow up a balloon, you can only blow it up so much, and then you know to stop and tie it. So when it stretches out, the swelling's going to stop. This is you in the morning, all of this red. The pump is movement. So when you move, that's the pump turning on like this, and it's pushing the fluid out. So when you're stiff, you need to move. Okay? Move. You move. If your back's out on you, the movement's going to be tough. Then you lie down a little bit.
But no stretching.
No stretching ever when your back is out. Movement. Move. I just lied to you because I'm going to show you a stretch to do. All right? Right when it happens. But you always got to think about these joints like balloons. They're swollen balloons. From now on, forget about the muscle. Forget about everything but the joint inflammation, okay? You have swollen balloons. If you have a problem, there's an issue with your balloon. I like that. Hey, nice balloons. All right, what's the function of the muscle? Remember this?
Here I am. Woo!
Oh, I'm not there. Oh, my goodness.
This is movement, this is protection, all right? Who do you want protecting you?
Oh, her.
I'm joking. Oh, that was gross. All right, tight stomach muscles create pressure in the abdominal cavity, taking pressure off of the lower back. See that? So walking around like this is wicked bad. You can say that in Boston. You can say that. All right? Stomach. Anybody know what type of muscle this is called other than beautiful? It's called skeletal muscle. All right? When you flex skeletal muscle, what happens to it? Like this. If I do this for a long time, what builds up in it? Lactic acid. The diaphragm is considered smooth muscle. which doesn't build up lactic acid. It's intended to always be being used. Okay? The stomach is the only muscle in the human body that is part skeletal muscle and part smooth muscle. It is designed to stay tight 24 hours a day. But because it relies on our brains, we're able to be like, oh, that's a lot of work. Right? Like, you can't do that with your diaphragm. Because your diaphragm just keeps working. If not, you breathe. So your brain is controlling that. For some reason, the guy upstairs said, you know what, I'm going to give them control of their stomachs. I wish they never did. I wish they never did, because everybody, you know, walks around letting their stomachs hang out. That's a big mistake when it comes to lower back. You really want, your stomach is designed to be tight 24 hours a day. I keep my stomach sucked in all the time. Now, if you have digestion issues and bloating and stuff like that, becomes very labored, then we have to address that before we can get to that. But really, the stomach should be flexed, all right? Everybody should have tight abs.
You're constantly...
Always, son, always. I'm always doing it right now.
Okay.
Yep. All right, now, exercise number one. Huh? Yeah, oh, sorry. I'm like, thank you. I love crunches, too. God bless you. Exercise number one is crunches, but how we do them is important. I didn't have a table I could do this on, so I'm going to, you know what I'm going to do, as I told somebody this today? So did everybody register for this today? No? So go online and register for it, because everybody that's registered, I'm going to record videos of me doing these exercises. And I'm going to send that out. It's really the only way I can. It's the only way I can do this. You know. Yeah. All right, now, Richard Simmons, get in shape, girl. All right. So crunches. The first thing. Let's say somebody. And this is the only thing I'm going to show you now. And then I'm going to explain everything else. Let's say you get that tweak. Okay. And everybody know what I'm talking about the tweak. Ooh, oh, what was that? And then everybody's like, oh, let me see him. You know, I did that once. I was in school. This is when I learned my lesson, chiropractic school. My spine never was worse than when I left that place, right? Practicing on everybody. I was getting practiced on myself. And I'm like, I felt a tweak in my low back. I'm like, oh, my God. And they don't teach you this stuff in chiropractic. This stuff is, you know, I don't know why they don't teach you. But... So my back was killing me. I'm like, oh, man. It was in class, and I was going to the gym. I'm like, you know what? Oh, I gotta stretch, man. I gotta just stretch this thing out. And I go to the gym, and I do exactly what I'm telling you not to do, and I get down like this, and I remember, you know, I don't even want to do it because I'm hurt. Yeah, yeah. I'm going to do it scissored stance like I'm going to teach you guys, all right? So I go down, and I'm like, oh, my God, oh, yeah, right? And I couldn't get up. I literally had to be picked off the floor because I didn't know any better, picked off the floor by, like, people and taken me to the infirmary by people and lie down. I couldn't let anybody touch. I couldn't move for, like, 3 weeks. But if I had known not to stretch, I would have been, you know, my back would have been a little tweaked, and I would have been up and running in 5 days. But because I didn't know what to do, I made it a lot worse. Right? So, you get that tweak. First thing I want you to do, and this is what I did on Sunday, this is the only reason I was able to bike, is you get down, and you do crunches like this, okay? Everybody could stand up. So you go down and you do crunches. You don't put your feet on the ground, and you don't go all the way back. You do this until you can't do it anymore. All right? Sometimes it might be 5 of them, or it might be 35 of them, until you get the burn in your stomach. You're looking for the burn in your stomach.
Are you still stuck in your stomach?
No, I'm doing crunches. No. If you pull your stomach in right now, that's actually... That's a good point, Vinny. If you pull your stomach in when you're doing this, you cause... It's almost like taking a crap. Like you no, but not that you cause that pressure that pressure, and that'll blow a disc out. All right, so you want to be careful. That will hurt the joint.
So the only time you're sucking your stomach is when you're actually walking around and just doing nothing.
Yeah. So I'm doing this right here, okay? Now I can't bring my back down. So now what I do is I lift my leg up and I bring my leg over. And believe it or not, I'm telling you how to self manipulate yourself, but you're bringing your leg over and you're sitting right here. Then you come back over here, take your leg, bring it over, and I feel it. I didn't get what I wanted, so I'm going to do my crunches again. Do my crunches, bring the leg over, there you go, done. So what just happened is my back went pop. Okay? So it realigned itself by fatiguing, by really increasing that pressure here, which tells these guys, whoa, settle down a little bit. I got your back here. And then you bring your leg over, and the ligament will self-align the joint once you pull it. And now I was ready to ride again. And I was able to ride the whole day, and then I had to take it easy, you know, that night, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and then today. Today is my day when I'm fine. No. You do that right when you feel that tweak.
Only when you feel the tweak.
Yes. Yeah. That is like, that is immediately get down, feel that pop. Because you won't get it normally, typically. Okay? Because it's the inflammation coupled with the ligament tension that helps pull that over. Sometimes you will. If you're getting adjusted regularly, it'll move a lot easier and you don't have to force it. This is good to do daily. I'm talking about that leg over. Yeah, exactly. If you get that tweak, I want that leg over, and I really want you to self-align, because what you're doing in that sense is you're taking your ankle from being like this to aligning it, and it's going to feel a lot better, but do not stretch for 5 or 6 days after, even if it feels better, because you've tweaked it, give it its time. It's going to take you 5 days. It's almost like everybody's like, I got a sore throat. And they're like, oh my God, it's my sinuses. And now, once you get a sore throat, you're going to go through a 5-day process where it's going to be sinuses. You're going to get, it's just post-nasal drip at night. You make all these excuses, but it's just your body going through the cycles that it has to be. Because when you get sick isn't when you feel it. It was 4 months before when you ran yourself down. So once your back goes out on you, you have to give it the time to heal. Like, you can't sprain an ankle and then it heals tomorrow. It has to go through cycles.
Can you keep doing that routine?
Yes, you can.
On a regular basis,
You can, yes. I did. Then the exercise, the leg crossover. Okay?
Now, your legs were bent here. Does it matter whether it's straight or...
It is. It's better to... Actually, that's a really good point. It's better to take your leg and have a little bend in it. Yes. Because when it's outstretched, if there's any sciatic issue that's involved with that, it's better to bend your leg just slightly. If you can't get it, then you can use the torque of keeping it straight. Okay? Now, this exercise is to be done when you have pain or don't have pain.
Don't.
Right, exactly. The only two I want you to do when you have pain are the crunches and that leg over. This one is called a piriformis stretch. Because we sit down all stinking day long, what happens is these ligaments right here actually physically shorten, these right here. And then the muscles that are... So you got to think about, this is layers underneath, right? And then these are the musculoskeletal layers. And when you look here, those are deep to these. So these are what you're stretching on a regular basis right here, called your glutes. Okay? Got to get those stretched out, especially when you sit all day long. If you don't do that, you will have chronic back pain. if you don't do these piriformis muscle stretches. I'm going to do a video of me doing them. All right? And I'll show you how I get into it and stuff like that. And also, too, is if you are here, I'm going to be sending you these slides either probably at the beginning of next week, so you have these. All right, what is better? This stretch up top to do hamstring. Hamstrings are also a stretch I want you to do. This stretch up here or this one down here? Top or lower?
Lower.
All right, anybody for top? Okay, anybody for bottom? Which stretch is better for your lower back? Because you're opening up your stance. It's because it's scissored. Always, I repeat, always, when you do a hamstring stretch, please, unless you are doing a stretch when you have inflammation, you can do a hamstring stretch on your back with your leg up, okay, and stretch that out. Otherwise, do the stretch opening up your stance. This is called a hurdler stretch, right? And don't go straight down because, remember, you're going to hurt your back when you're this way. Turn and go into the stretch. This stretch is not for my lower back. I would never stretch my lower back out like this. I could tell you another story when I busted my lower back doing that. So always turn and go into the hamstring. And you can go into the hamstring and arch your back also. Or bend like this and then cross. And then go down like this. Whenever I stretch my hamstrings, what else do you think I do? I always do crunches. And then I'll go back down. I'll do crunches. And then I'll come up. And I'll stretch that hamstring again. And you'll notice you're able to go down a little further. The more you do your stomach, it's going to unlock these things. And you're going to be able to stretch more. I don't know how the HE double hockey sticks, I found that out, but I did. I'm also an exercise physiologist, so we did a lot of research on the shoulder back at UMass Amherst. A lot of research on the muscles, trying to understand cross patterns, agonist, antagonist, and understanding when you engage one, you loosen something else out. Anybody foam roll? Yeah. I can just tell you that this is going to be brutal, the foam rolling video I'm going to be doing for you guys. It's going to be horrible. But a foam roller is crucial when you're talking about leg stuff and back stuff. Because remember, even though the ligaments are trump, your lifestyle affects your muscles and can actually physically shorten them, which causes imbalances in your back. It's way, way too complicated for me to tell you how that happens. But I just want you to rest assured that when I do this video has come with 15, 20 years of understanding the lower back, and these specific exercises are the ones that I do personally to help protect myself. Now, this one right here, I kind of give with a little bit of caution, all right? When you're starting to understand how the joint feels and how the pressures in the joint, I really want you to kind of get into it. And when you're doing the stretches, say, whoa, 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 whoa. I've gone into like a full stretching thing and I had 20 minutes that I was going to stretch for, went down once, and I backed out of it because I could feel that my joints just weren't ready based on whatever it was lifestyle-wise that I did. This one right here, I told you to kind of bring the leg over, do the crunches, bring the leg over this way. This is an optional one that you can do at that point. Now, the issue with this is when you pull the knees up and you rotate, if you engage your system to hold your legs there, that's bad. So let me show you what I mean. So let's say I'm lying down here like this, right? And I bring my legs up. I want my arms to rotate my legs. You see that? And then go back the other way. If I go like this, and I let my leg, if I use my body to hold this up, you're going to pull that. But this is another good exercise to do, just like this. Easy, not stretching forward, going back and forth. I can feel the joint right there pulled just slightly, and I can feel it there. So I can tell just by doing that, that there's still inflammation in the capsule. Okay? And I can tell pinpoint that it's on the left side. I'm very much about empowering people. All right? I'm really giving you self things that you can do at home to learn and understand your back. Because too many people come into me. Too many people come into me and they're like, "Oh my God, what's wrong? What's wrong? What's wrong?" If you start to understand how the joints are feeling and how they're functioning, you can really come in and say, "Doc, I got some inflammation down here in my lower part of my back." And you'll start to know what to do or what not to do, but based on these few exercises that you can kind of get a sense with. So I empower you to go home and just try them. But that one, when you're lying on your back and you're rotating your legs around, is a really good one to understand your lower back and to know when you're putting yourself at risk and you're not at risk. So in the morning time, I want you to try this. So tomorrow when you wake up, just go to lift up your legs and you're going to feel, whoa, that's not cool. And then like do it, or do it when you go home and see what it feels like, and then do it in the morning. Because now you'll start to get a sense of when that joint is swollen and when it isn't. And that was from the other one. I actually did this off of my other one. So really when in the last one, we talked about muscle pain, a window into your health. They talked about doing trigger point work in muscle work and that type of stuff also. So when you're looking at stretching is one thing, but working on the muscles themselves, I do it a little bit of hesitation because I really want you to understand that the trump are the ligaments underneath. Okay? You can work on the muscles, but sometimes if you work on the muscles too much, the muscles are protecting something underneath. So I really like for you to kind of understand the joints and just let the muscles do what they're going to do. Because I can always work on the muscle myself when you're in here when we're working. I want you to get to know the positions that you need to be in, the positions that you don't need to be in, to really understand how not to hurt yourself again. Because you have to start to think about swollen balloon, swollen joint. Whoa, don't stretch. Okay, good. I'm feeling real good. Let me stretch, but let me get a check to see how my joints are doing, if they're ready to stretch. Pull your thing up. I know that this joint on this left side, based on bringing my legs up and feeling, I brought my leg to one side, I brought it to the other side, and I know the sense now that, oh, it's a swollen joint, it's a swollen balloon. So when I go to the gym tomorrow, I'm still going to go to the gym, but I'm not going to stretch. Because I know, based on that check, that I'm at risk. And I'm at risk based on what happened to me Sunday. Right? Did you get something from tonight?
Yeah, yes. Excellent. Yeah, really. Yeah.
All right, good. Anybody have any questions? Go ahead.
Yeah, I do. Because you said at the beginning it's not inflammation, but it is inflammation. And where it is, because what I came in the other day and said, okay, I could feel the pressure from the weather, where does that play into this?
That plays in to the every...
Hello.
All right, I'm done. That plays into the joint capsule. Everything is in...
So that's inflamed.
It is, yes.
Right. So it's protecting, and the muscle winds up protecting it in some fashion, but is it because I did something, or is it the weather?
It is the weather.
Okay.
Barometric pressure change
does make a difference.
Will swell a balloon.
Okay.
If you take a balloon in a high-pressure day versus low-pressure day, the balloon will swell. All of your joints are swollen in a low pressure day. So a storm is low pressure. The storm moves in the night before. You're going to feel the storm coming because the barometric pressure drops. The pressure in your joint is high, so everything swells. Yep, very difficult. You don't want to stretch. What do you want to do in a case like that? You want to move, right?
And yes. Don't bend. I mean, that's when I felt it was a bend, but...
Well, what I've done in the...
What started? I mean, like...
Okay, so what started with it, you got to understand now, unfortunately, the nervous system is Trump. So to understand what started it needs to say, okay, are we fighting a cold underneath of the deep layers? Is my digestive tract off? Did I have any salt the night before? Am I dehydrated? Because lifestyle will cause the joints to react and swell even more with the weather coming in, right? So there are a lot of other factors, but the things that I'm trying to give you right now are the real things that you can say. So I'll give it, for instance, like I went over to my parents' house and I had some pasta, right? And I don't eat that stuff anymore. I just kind of do some of the stuff around the holidays. And I know if your fingers are swollen, you're swollen, right? So then you just want to make sure you do your check. So before you go down in to do any stretching, you really want to do these checks to see how the joints are doing. Okay?
Yeah.
Go ahead, Biz.
Just real quickly, Doc, two best exercises you can tell me for someone that's got that disc issue like myself. That stretching, the hamstring stretch or the...
Yeah, the hamstring stretch, you have to be careful because when you lean forward like that, that disc is going to want to bulge backwards, okay? So you need to really twist down to the sides. You can't go straight on. You need to have a lot of rotation in that. Your best bet is to have, because I know the stuff that you're doing, assisted stretching on your back at the beginning. So lie on your back, and then somebody brings the legs over. Somebody holds one leg down, they bring the leg up, because your back is in a neutral position, and you can get all those things stretched. A piriformis stretch is also going to be good for you, but you need to make sure that your back is arched. The big thing with you and anybody that has disc issues is having an arch in your back and not rolling forward. So whenever you stretch, if let's say I did a calf stretch, you'd want to go in with the back forward. You wouldn't want to bend forward. It's this arch which is going to be important with you. Okay? All right? Thank you. Go ahead. So your hamstrings are reacting. Remember, that's the secondary level.
Right.
Your hamstrings are reacting to the joint pressure. I would, in your case, right, I would have gotten down. I would check that lower back and say, I have 5 days. I need to just be very careful tying my shoes, bending forward, understand the pressures in the lower back, you know, go down like that. To tie your shoes, you do that for 5 days, check the pressure in the joint, and then you'll never hurt it. But those hamstrings are your sign that it's going to go out on you. So there are signs that your back is quote-unquote ready to go. And once you start learning that, then you can start feeling the joint and testing the joint, then you just got to stay away from it. And you got to take all of those pressure precautions on bending forward and stuff like that. Yes? Congratulations.
I haven't had any back problems really since then. Is there a real correlation between...
It's right here. So we do a 30-day gluten-free challenge in January, everybody. I would love, you'll start getting the emails for it. Gluten inflames the GI tract. GI tract affects your immune system. Your immune system causes chronic inflammation through the joints when you're attacking those types of... It's called leaky gut syndrome. Does anybody know what leaky gut syndrome is? We've talked about it before. What happens is proteins get through the GI tract when the gluten inflames the GI tract. Those proteins attack the joints, which cause all this chronic inflammation. So you had chronic pre-stress in your joints because you were reacting to gluten negatively, always making you a swollen balloon. Make sense? Okay, good. All right. Guys, thank you very much. I really appreciate it. Hopefully you took something from it. Thank you. And like I said, for those of you that weren't here, we're going to be just...